This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Crisis alert. Do it each week. Let's get through the worst. Gas is starting to leak. Wiggler and Jazz carrying on. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale when the showrunner's gone. The brightest timeline still has cloudy days. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. This is Community Building. I am Jess Sterling. And as you can probably figure out, Josh Wiggler is not here. He is on a lovely vacation. We wish him well. But the party doesn't stop when Josh is away. So we're here. We missed the boat a little bit back in September, getting to speculate on what the Community movie is going to entail. And so here we are a few months later with maybe some more details available to us that we're going to have some fun speculating about what the Community movie is actually going to entail. But of course, I cannot do it alone. I needed to bring in an expert panel to talk with me about this because as much as I like to consider myself a massive Community fan, I really can't even hold a candle to these two people. Firstly, I am joined by the person behind the screen, behind the Twitter account of Communities, Matt. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well.
Thank you for being here. And of course, someone else who knows a ton about Community and talks about it as well, Jen from the Community Rewatch Podcast. Jen, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I am snacking away here on cheese and crackers, which, as you all know, is a great podcast food.
Perfect podcast food. So let's chat a little bit here. I looked up the date because I was like, I feel like I should remember this date because it was like the date that shall go on in infamy of like the date we were told about the Community movie. Finally, six seasons in a movie. It is here. Back on September 30th, 2022, we were told, okay, it's happening. Finally, we have waited long enough. We were finally told there's going to be a Community movie. Just want to throw this out there in case anyone is concerned. We are going to be full spoilers here. If I know usually Josh, we try to keep it no spoilers for Josh, but he is away. And in order for us to really have full speculation, we need to be able to talk about the full series. So if you have not seen seasons 1 through 6 of Community and don't want to be spoiled, please leave now or forever hold your peace. We're going to be spoiling everything. Come back once you've seen the whole series. But yeah, let's dive in a little bit. Confirmed September 30th. We know that it's going to be written by Dan Harmon, which, Matt, I know as someone who just finished a season 4 rewatch, couldn't be happier. I don't think you could possibly make this movie without Dan Harmon's involvement.
There's no way it was ever going to happen without him. I think the bigger plus for everybody is that he's doing it with Andrew Guest,
yeah,
who has nothing but bangers in his history with Community. So, yeah. Most importantly, the two-parter paintball episodes, the first of the two parts, that's Andrew Guest. Mm-hmm. He also is at Mance D&D. He writes great stories. He does a good job. So I think he's an excellent choice to work with Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. Jen, like I looked up a little bit of like Andrew Guest just to get his like pedigree. And him being involved in not only the paintball episodes, but also like the advanced D&D episode, like those are some of the best episodes of Community.
Yeah, Yeah. My thing was, if it can't be McKenna, then it should be someone. My thing was always like, I need Dan to have a co-writer, because part of my issue is that Dan without a co-writer, he needs that balance. I feel like mm-hmm. to kind of bring some of that humanity, some of that heart, maybe a little bit of sentimentality that is not, he's not very known for. So the fact mm-hmm. that the series finale was Chris McKenna and Dan, I thought was a good pairing. So I'm excited for Andrew Guest to be co-writing this with him.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a really great pairing. I think I totally think you're right. He needs that balance. He needs Andrew Guest also worked on Suburgatory, on Marry Me. I think he has a really nice laundry list of credits to his name. And I think he is the person to bring that balance to Dan. And I totally agree with you. It's Chris McKenna would have been awesome as well. There's so many names that I think you can look back in the heyday.
He's not doing anything big, right?
There's only a trilogy of spider people he's dealt with. So.
No writing done in the last few years whatsoever.
But I'm really excited. I think this is a really good pair to write the movie. And so that we found that out back in September. And then, of course, from there, Matt, I know that Community Twitter was blowing up that day with speculation on who's involved, right? Who from the cast is going to be on it? Who's confirmed? Who is we're still sussing out whether or not, even if they're not listed as confirmed, maybe they'll make a cameo. So tell us a little bit about what you know in terms of cast announcements, who's confirmed for the movie.
The only people confirmed right now for the movie are the people who were a part of season 6 as full-time cast members. So the list is just Joel, Allison, Gillian, Danny, and Ken Jeong and Jim Rash. That's the list. That's the only official list. Mm-hmm. We have heard from Dan in a Variety article that Donald Glover's down to clown. That's the phrase he used. So if you want to find it, just Google that phrase.
A legal term. Yeah. Meaning he's signed a contract.
Yeah. He said it was a timing issue and they just screwed it up with the contract. Yeah, yeah. So that was the reason that he wasn't included. So Donald Glover is a great sign. We haven't heard officially anything from Yvette. That's our big worry as a fandom about Yvette being involved. And outside of that, what Guest has said in an interview was that we'll take anybody who wants to be a part of the show to be a part of it. So when Joe McHale accidentally included Gillian.
That
Chef's Kiss, perfect choice. And she retweeted him. It's like Gillian Jacobs, who.
Well, and I mean, they work together on the X-Files. Yeah, yeah, they're on the X-Files. They have a relationship.
Or series. Yeah, series. She's contacted them, according to Andrew Guest, and said, yeah, I would like to do this. So probably Gillian Anderson will be in the movie.
It's such a funny troll moment of Gillian Jacobs isn't on Twitter. Gillian Anderson accidentally gets tagged in this tweet and suddenly she's in the community.
And that's how she ends up in the movie.
It feels like a very Greendale thing.
That's very much Community when it was live and filming first 3 seasons where they're interacting with fans and getting feedback. So that's very Community.
Yeah. So that would be really fun to get Gillian Anderson by accident, I could totally see that happening. I think I would appreciate Jen the side characters are so important to Greendale and to the Community network as a whole. And so I would love to see Leonard and Garrett and all of those side characters.
Richard Erdman.
I know, yeah. I know.
Bring him back as a hologram.
What something. If they did? At least
just blowing raspberries.
Or maybe
who replaces the Pierce garden or whatever Pierce was named for in season 5.
The hologram
they renamed it.
Put student of the century or something and put up a picture of Leonard or something
that. It's just a wall of Leonard photos or something. Mm-hmm. Neil and Vicky, Magnitude, Pop Pop. So I, for one, do not care if Starburns does not make an appearance again, because I do not enjoy Starburns as a character. I have said this when I talked about it on my pod of like speculating. I said it would be really funny to have him there for one scene and he's very annoyed that he's in whatever shenanigans he's in. And then that's it. Because I feel
that would be perfect for him because he doesn't want to act.
Exactly.
So it works out great.
So, yeah. I mean, depending on, I can't imagine it being set anywhere other than Greendale, but obviously depending on where it is kind of depends on, you know, and how long this has been since the series finale, like who all is still hanging around Greendale or who's going to come back to Greendale for the shenanigans of the film. So, but I would like to see, you know, that. I mean,
I think we do. I think that's like, it feels like that's the heart of part of the story is like learning who these side characters are and learning a bit about them as well and how they relate to the study group, I think has always been like in a very essential part of Community. So I would be a little disappointed to at least not see a few of them. I don't even care if they're like essential plot points.
Yeah.
Just to have them even in like in the background, you know, Vicky chimes in with one line or something, you know. I think it'd be really fun. But Matt, back to what you had said about Yvette Nicole Brown. I'm with you. I'm a little concerned. Like, I feel like I really need Shirley to be there. It just feels like I feel like there would be something missing if she's not there, even if I know when you list people as a part of the movie, like if they have a smaller part, maybe it's a cameo, maybe they wouldn't be specifically listed. So I'm hoping that at the very least she's making a cameo in some capacity. But I'm a little concerned.
I am worried for this reason. They've been friends and on a group chat for a decade or so. Mm-hmm. So And one of the executive producers is Joel. So Joel has been involved the moment they started calling people. So whatever the outline is for the movie, I think Yvette already knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Yvette's not interested currently. Mm-hmm. Now, they could flesh it out and fix that.
Yeah.
But I think based on what we've seen so far, and she doesn't know about the movie is the phrase she keeps using. She might not know anything about the movie flesh details, but she knows more than she can say.
Of course, right.
And I think the answer is probably what she saw was something along the lines of, I have three kids and there's not much else for her character to say, and she doesn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that too, just in terms of like what they would bring her back as in terms of contract, what would be negotiated as far as that kind of stuff goes. Because I mean, let's be real, like getting paid and being able to do that and take time away to film the movie in some capacity, you have to kind of weigh whether or not it's worth it. And you know, that has been very vocal about the very true treatment of Shirley throughout the series and how she views fans not caring about Shirley as much as they care about every other character on the show, sometimes even Pierce. So I think that probably plays a role in it. I mean, if I you know, and I don't know Yvette's personal feelings or history with just how she ended the show. I know she ended the show on her own terms to go and take care of her dad. But I also know that, you know, thinking about how you would be received coming back and how her character would be received. Like everyone loves Yvette, but I think she's understandably part of it is like, am I going to be treated well as Shirley in the movie? Is it worth it to come back for, you know, a minor role? Like, is that going to make fans happy? Do they even care? And so I can see both sides. Personally, it's not Community without Shirley to me, but I respect Yvette's decision. And ultimately, if it's for the betterment of her mental health, her life, her well-being, her schedule, then I'm all for whatever she decides. I just really, really want Shirley to be part of it because she's such an important part of the Community universe.
And I think there is like... there's a way where this movie can make up for the lack of Shirley and just kind of like what ended up happening with Shirley's character, because to a certain degree, it does feel quite unsatisfying. I think like specifically here on this podcast, right, we do Meow Meow Beans where we like give characters Meow Meow Beans and as a like every episode for like what we think they contributed, how much we enjoyed their characters, on and on. And we've noticed as the seasons have progressed, we just finished season four, that Shirley has gotten less and less Meow Meow Beans. Like, and it's not, it is nothing. Anytime Yvette is on screen, she is popping. It's more of the content she's given, the way she's written. And and it's we're finding that there is a lack of Shirley as the seasons go on. And so obviously, like you said, she leaves to go take care of her father and she is written off of the show. But it's it does feel like they could bring her back in a way that feels true to the original Shirley. I think there's a way to do that. And obviously, I'm with you, Jen. Like, if it doesn't work for her, obviously it's up to her. You know, she's the one who has to make that decision. But I'm just hoping that if they do involve her, that we get kind of that original Shirley that I know I fell in love with. And it feels like, as time goes on, kind of gets lost.
Yeah, you need to honor her if you're going to bring her back, because the problem is that Shirley gets sidelined so much throughout the show as it goes on. She becomes, like you said, less and less of an important character. Her storylines get more and more one-dimensional to the point where they just become flat. And then one of the biggest problems I have in season five is that they basically just destroy her life in the season five premiere.
It's Dan's awful.
Like, hey, I'm back. Let me just crush everyone and like really burn Shirley's life to the ground specifically. And that never sat right with me. And like, I can understand as a fan that never sat right with me. I can understand that that's amplified for Yvette, who's playing this character and who loves this character. So that's my biggest thing is like, I know she loves the cast and I know they love her. I'm so glad she did the virtual table read. It was so great to see her back. But ultimately, if the movie is not going to serve Shirley and is going to sideline her as kind of like just a one-off thing or give her equal screen time as like Duncan, which is again what happened at the end of season five. You're like, you put her with Duncan and just kind of shoved her off to another story. Like, I can understand not necessarily being really, really happy about coming back to a film just for that. So my hope would be that they would recognize that that's what they did over the years. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if Dan recognized that that's what he did over the years to Shirley's character, or if that's the top of his mind. And again, to Yvette can choose to do whatever she wants, and I will respect that and respect her. But I would love to see Shirley in some capacity if it serves Yvette well.
Yeah. Yeah, and she, unlike previous times, she's an Emmy-nominated actress now.
Yeah.
That negotiation's probably different now.
Yeah.
Because I mean, nobody else fits in that category.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donald. Yeah, you're not wrong. Donald's Grammys. Donald's, you know, he has multiple things.
Of course.
He has Emmys. But yeah, she's there.
And yeah, exactly.
And she was fourth on the call list originally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
my
if
thing
she's
too.
Moved down to like the eighth most important person for the movie, I could see where that's not something she's interested in.
Yeah, those negotiations are things that people obviously have behind the scenes. And again, that's just something we don't know and will probably never be revealed and, you know, really doesn't need to be. But there's a lot of things that play into her decision, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Back or not.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just something that was top of mind for me specifically, because it's like, okay, I know we have most of the Greendale seven like accounted for, right? Like we have most of them situated. We obviously know there's no Chevy Chase. Think everything.
Thank God.
I've had enough of Pierce on my screen forever and always.
I think we all have. We're good. We're good.
We have our fill.
If there's a passing mention of him in one scene, that's all.
That sounds great. Great. They disconnected the power to the holograph. Sounds like a great way to end
this. Replaced him with Leonard is all I'm saying. Yeah. This is a free idea, Dan and Andrew.
Yeah. And then obviously in terms of Donald Glover, like it would be lovely to see him in any capacity. Obviously he is one of the busiest, right? Like in terms of like trying to fit his schedule with everyone else's schedule.
I also think Matt's right in terms of the money that you're willing to spend for Donald Glover to be in. I know that they're probably willing to spend a lot, but like what kind of money does Peacock have to spend on this movie is my question. And a lot of it's going to go to Donald Glover.
Yeah. Again. That's the thing. It's also streaming on Peacock. So it's something to consider along, you know what I mean? Like what kind of money they have.
Is it Sony still technically? I think Sony owns it, film. Yeah. So, I mean, that might help a little, but like, those are things that I think as I've grown in the community fandom, I noticed that people don't realize that that is a thing. They're like, oh no, Donald will just come back. I'm like, but okay. But like actors cost studios money. Like, and Donald Glover is big and he will want money, significant amounts of it.
He just got Marvel money just last week.
He can demand whatever money he wants. And like, as can all of the actors, that is part of being an actor and choosing to do projects. And so the reality of that playing into this is also something that people should consider. Of course, if you're like really excited about a project, that's all well and good, but like, let's not kid ourselves and think that money doesn't play into this.
I think a lot of it is
to be free.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just like fans of anything, especially like the show where people have waited what feels like forever for the movie, are probably very much of the mindset of like, oh, but they're all friends and everyone wants to do it.
This is built on a dream.
Yeah, which is true. Like, I'm sure they are all friends, right? But like Matt, you said, like the group chat and everything, but that doesn't mean that everyone's just going to be like throwing their lives to the side.
And this is also what it goes back to in terms of like when you were part of the fandom, and this is what I learned from being part of the community fandom from the time that we were trying to save the show. Everything in the world always boils down to money. So like the studio is going to shell out money to produce this movie because they think that it's worth their while, not because a bunch of people on the internet were like, we want a movie. Because if that's how the world worked, like everything would be in chaos all the time. Like it doesn't hurt that a lot of people have been clamoring about this. But ultimately, the decision came down to this was financially a viable thing to spend cheap amounts of money on in order to get a big return on their investment. So like, let's also keep that in mind that this is how movies and TV and everything works. Is like, they're spending money because they think that it's worth it, not just because people were like, but we've said six seasons in a movie forever. Yeah. And that's why it happened.
They're going to have to make money from this for this to work. Yes. And they think it'll do that now.
And yeah, exactly. And, you know, if it doesn't, maybe we'll bankrupt another streaming service. What's to say? We've done it once. We can do it again.
Hey, one less sounds okay to me. So
it's just so funny to me forever. But like, yeah, that's the point. I mean, that's something to keep in mind as people engage in fandoms is like, of course the vocal support behind the show for so many years doesn't hurt, but ultimately, as most things in life do, it comes down to money.
Mm-hmm. So quick question, because I don't know if either of you have heard anything on this in terms of some of the season 5 and forward characters. I'm talking Jonathan Banks, Keith David, Patrick Brewster. Do we have any word on like their appearances?
I think it's only just Twitter, right?
Yeah, like, we've only heard that. Well, there was somebody, a reporter asked Keith David if he would do it, and he goes, I expect to be there if they do a movie. So that's Keith David saying that. So they're writing his name down. I think they'd do that. Padgett was asked on Twitter. She said she'd love to if it, you know, it worked out. I mean, so everybody that, for the most part, Yvette being the exclusion. The only everybody a part of the show in the past is who's been asked has said yes, and so most of the Muppets, the people that play Garrett, the people that play Neil, all of those, Danielle, all of them have said, you know,
even Marcy was saying when we talked to her. Yeah, but she hasn't been called, but she's like, if they want Kendra to come back, sure. Like,
yeah, Kendra with a Q. Yeah.
So everybody that we have heard from has said, that it's been asked where we've seen it, but
But I mean, whether or not that'll actually happen. Also, I don't think Jonathan Banks would return, but that's also just because
I don't think he would either. But
I was of the same mind. I'm like, of these three, of Jonathan Banks, Keith David, and Patrick Brewster, I'm like, I feel like Jonathan Banks is the easiest one to kind of rule out.
The least likely one.
And I was like, of who they're going to spend money on, I feel like...
he's got that Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul money now.
John Oliver's going to be kind of like the, if you spend that money for...
Yeah, it's going to be John Oliver if you're going to pick him that crowd.
Who has like a big, obviously he has like a more of a... substantial connection, I feel like, to the community.
No, I agree.
And a big audience outside of it. There's a that speaking of
what,
financial
has
return.
Has he done anything since Community, Matt?
He's just on that one show where he talks
won
a lot.
Any awards whatsoever? Talk about winning awards too. My goodness.
So he becomes
him and Donald.
Yeah, he becomes a completely different thing. But you know, Set Deck has killed Hickey.
Yeah, that's right.
Six,
I forgot about that.
Jonathan Banks
six,
is iffy on multiple reasons.
In universe, he's much like Peter.
There's a funeral for Hickey. So.
It's very interesting to think, you know, John Oliver too. It really feels like when you're putting John Oliver in the movie as well, beyond the payment of it all, which is massive, because let's face it, a lot of these actors are now much bigger than they were when originally on Community. You also are bringing in someone who very much feels like a sentimental pick as well for a lot of like the early Community fans with Duncan and kind of like the OGs, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a lot more nostalgia for the early seasons, so that makes sense.
It'll just be very interesting. Again, so much of this is like, what is the movie going to be about? Like, who makes sense to return, like based on what the movie's actually going to be plot wise and where it's going to take place and when it's taking place. And like, I think that's my biggest thing is like, there's a lot of people who I would love to see pop up again, but you know, much like any wish list, does it make sense for them to come back? Is it gonna, it's, you know, and again, it's a movie. So it's what, an hour and a half, probably hour and 45 minutes. It's not going to be long enough to have significant time with each of these people. So my assumption is that much like some of those, you know, background characters from Community or like minor characters, any sort of professor or like Duncan would be a very short lived moment on screen in the grand context, because honestly, like, I want to see the core group of people the most time on screen. I don't want it to kind of be eaten up by, and here's some fan service and here's some fan service, because I also don't think that that's in line with what Dan or Andrew would want to do.
Speaking of, let's get into a little bit of speculation on story-wise on what we think may or may not be a part of the movie when it comes out. Let's start with what we know is not going to be happening, because Dan Harmon did an interview with Newsweek where he said, you know,
did an interview with Alex, but for 6 seasons of the podcast,
also,
Newsweek talked to them afterwards, and so did Variety.
Amazing. Like, first of all, we love to see it. But he did say we're not doing paintball, we're not doing D&D, so we could rule out those like very genre heavy Community episodes. And I feel like, I don't know about the way you both feel, I feel like this is the right move. I think you want to do something else. I think been there, done that kind of attitude, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm fine with not, I'm for sure fine with not doing D&D, because that really only serves you if you're doing a bottle episode. And I don't want an hour and 45 minute bottle episode. And then paintball, I think it was just like, it's been such a staple. I feel like if we're going to mention paintball, that's fine. If we're going to have someone wear a paintball, like Greendale 2010 hoodie as a throwback in a scene, great. That's all I need from it. I don't really need another reenactment of paintball, because they have gotten progressively worse over the season. Actually, that's not true. Season 2's was the best. And then they kind of like vary in levels of success. So
there's it's only four. I'm only going to claim one. There's only one in season 6. I don't count what they did in season 4.
Oh yeah. There's only, but like even season 6, it was like, okay, like this is a spy kind of genre. Yep. So I feel like we've already exhausted all of the fun from paintball. So I'm fine with not seeing it again either.
Yeah, I don't really want that. And the argument they made was really good about what we really want to do is spend time with these people and talk about, and have them interact and have them, you know, tell us what's happened and show us how it's different. And if you set up something like the school's closed or something like that, you got to spend a lot of time fixing that problem. And that's not the interesting part.
Right.
They proved that in season 4 where they're painting walls and fixing chairs. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. there's that argument about spending time with the characters, which is another reason why, you know, I like the idea of all these people coming back. But we really can't spend a lot of time on this because I really care about the people at the table and I want more time with them. And I think Dan grasped that.
Hopefully. I totally agree with that. I think that if they did do something like a paintball, that's a big action sequence, right? That's a lot of time spent on the action and not
money too.
It's lots of money.
Yeah, it's less time spent on the characters who, let's face it, we have missed in the amount of time that we've been without them.
Well, and we need exposition, right? Like this is the problem with it being set so far from removed from the series finale is we need to fill in. Catch us up on what's happened over the last few years. And that requires exposition and time spent with the characters that you really can't get from, you know, if you're dodging paintballs in an action homage, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't work. No, I agree. I think it has to be something that is spent with way more of the, right? I think at the center of Community is like heart. It is literally community. Mm-hmm. And I think like it would be a disservice to the show and to people's memory of the show to do something that wasn't filled with heart and literally these characters talking to each other, because some of my favorite episodes are the bottle episodes, are the episodes where they're having conversations with one another, where they're all in a room together and shenanigans ensue. And I think that's what we're gonna, and I agree with you, Jen, like we are so far removed from the finale. We're going to need to spend a little bit of time catching up with the characters. Matt, what do you expect in terms of, a hypothetical, I guess. What do you think? How do we open the movie? Are we spending like a little bit of time with each character? Is it just a matter of like someone walks in a room and then they all start piling in?
The reference Dan used was Big Chill. And that means they have an event that brings them back and they have to spend some time together. So my guess is they'll be, you know, maybe this is how they kill Leonard in the show, or Leonard's not big enough to bring everybody back, maybe, but they have some event that brings them back. So I think it opens with the event. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be just insane. Whatever it'll be crazier than Frisbee's collapsing a roof and far more ridiculous. I mean, I think it'll be just over the top, whatever it is, but it'll have somebody reacting. I don't think we're going after Troy. I don't expect that at all. I don't expect them to
also
travel.
So many
like
people
that.
Have said that over the years that he literally cannot use that idea.
It's so I had that written down. It's like, so for people who don't know, there have been fans who like, oh, maybe the group teams up to rescue Troy and LeVar Burton from pirates in the Gulf of Mexico, because in an episode way back when there was like an on-screen news ticker mentioning they were kidnapped. Mm-hmm.
Gulf of Mexico.
It's too obvious at this point, right?
Also, logistically, he physically cannot use that idea without paying the people who then created that idea. Yeah. Like, he physically cannot use any ideas that people suggest for free without paying them. So that's why I always joke, like, oh, this is a free idea, guys. But really,
well, there's so many authors to it now. It's ubiquitous. I think he could get away with it. No, it could be like some kind of wall falls down and LeVar Burton runs out. Right behind him is Troy. I mean, that's the closest I can imagine of the result of what happens. But I can't imagine them doing that. That doesn't work. I don't think you'll have Donald that long. I don't think you'll have him for I don't think he's going to be in frame.
You're getting like a final week of shoots.
You're getting him for like a week.
I thought too. I think he's definitely a more cameo sized role versus.
Yeah, he comes in at the pivotal moment. Like that's what's happening. He just kind of swoops in and.
Yeah, he does the handshake with Abed. He does the, you know what I mean?
They better do the handshake with Abed. It will break Twitter if they don't.
Everyone will lose their minds. No, I don't even think that's even fan servicey.
It's kind of like spoilers, I guess, for The Office, which has been off of the air for a bajillion years. But like, it's like Michael Scott coming back. It's like that moment that you anticipate, that you really hope is coming. he's not there that often. The focus really isn't on him, but he's there. He does his thing and it's satisfying. So like, that's what I expect for Troy too. He comes in, he's there, he does his thing, mm-hmm. and it's satisfying, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers I think crossed. So.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. In terms of what do we think they're going to include in terms of the fan servicey things? Because there has to be a certain level, right? Like, we have to get the Troy and Abed handshake. That is like a must. I feel like, are we going to get a Daybreak in there somewhere?
Maybe. It was so interesting because Jamie and I talked about this when we were talking about kind of like the fan servicey things. We were, you know, we compared it to Psych, right? So Psych is the only frame of reference I have for a TV show that ended and then has done films and has done them successfully. Psych was always kind of a mini movie though, so that worked in their favor, was that this was always their setup, their procedural, everything worked pretty naturally. You don't need that big of an excuse to get everyone back together. Our biggest thing was like, there's not a lot of things that are super important in the show so much as they are really important in the fandom, right? So like, there are things that are like staples in the fandom that I think we care about more than in the show. So like, in the show, mm-hmm. how often is Daybreak played over 100 plus episodes? Well, not that often. Like, there's not something like with Psych where every you know, episode there's a pineapple hidden. Like, that's a very consistent thing that they do. Almost every single episode they do, Gus and Sean do their naming thing. Like, so there's those consistencies in Psych where it's like, that's a part of the show's DNA. Whereas with Community, we were kind of thinking about it. We're like, well, there's not really a lot of those things. Like, a lot of stuff that we care about is so big to us, but it really only happens in like maybe two episodes. Like, maybe, you know, maybe there's a couple of episodes here and there that they say this thing. So my biggest thing is that I don't know. I don't know what he's going to throw in. Troy and Abed handshake, probably, but like,
puns,
beyond
name
that,
puns, they'll have
maybe, but
puns.
That doesn't even happen in more than like three or four episodes in the whole show. So it's like, again, that's super important to us. It's super fun to us to reference. But as we were thinking through it, we were like, we really don't know what kind of, you know, Greendale's Where I Belong will probably play at some point because that is something that was built into
have
the
to see the flag at some point. I would imagine,
you know, there's probably going to be a Dean outfit maybe at some point. Like, that's absurd in the movie, but you know, between it being an hour and a half to an hour and 45, probably definitely under 2 hour movie, and all of the little things that we care so much about, I'm not entirely sure. Like, even the Troy and Abed in the morning, like, even all the variations of that only happen a handful of times in the whole show.
Yeah.
We say them a lot as the fans, but the show really doesn't use Troy and Abed in the morning more than like a half a dozen times. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm stuck of like, oh, I don't know, like, what they're going to include that we care a lot about. Mm-hmm. That the show actually didn't reference that much. Now that,
but I do expect to see it. I expect a reference of some sort to Troy and Abed.
You know, I almost expect like kind of like a cooperative calligraphy where it's like they find a bunch of crap that has memories over the years.
That references it all. A purple pen.
See a bunch of stuff. It's like you're cleaning it all out. Like, that's how I expect.
I really want
the
flashback where they go back and retcon and fix some stuff. I mean, that would be my favorite.
My thing is, I'm sure that they're gonna not open with this again unless Dan Harmon pays me, but like Abed narrating a previously on Community and that's how we get to know what happened with everyone in the past, like that kind of stuff. It'll be interesting though, because I'm not sure how much of that stuff is built into the fandom's DNA versus like the show's DNA. But
see, I think at a certain point though, they kind of become one in the same, because like, I think they're well aware of the cult following, right? They're well aware of the fandom at this point and what the fandom has glommed onto. Not that they'll necessarily use any of it.
Yeah, that's where I land, because I'm only saying because I know how much Dan Harmon hates when people like have pestered him over the years for six seasons in a movie. And I don't want it to be a thing where like everyone is so into this thing that Dan's like, ugh, I'm going to put it in here, but I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate you when I do it.
Yeah, he's going to put it in like a baby seal and he's going to club it.
Yeah,
that's
it's like,
gonna
I'm
going to
be really bitter and angry about it, I guess. And then it ruins it.
I think maybe you have to, like, at some point you meet in the middle on it where it's like, oh, fine, I'll throw him a bone. I'll throw him a couple bones. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z, but I'll do this.
I hope it ends with a title card that says, and a movie, and it crosses it out or something. Like, yeah. Hello, we finished it. We did the thing that you asked us to do, kind of.
Yeah, I expect the ships to not get fed the way they want to be.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm...
Oh, the shippers?
Oh, yeah, I'm very confident that anyone who ships anything on this, like whatever you ship, just go in thinking that absolutely nothing
you're getting
will
nothing.
Happen.
Much happier if you feel like you're getting nothing.
I totally agree. Yeah. I don't think anything is going to... I mean, I don't think anybody is going to be satisfied if that's what they're looking to get out of the movie. I don't know. For me, I just don't think that that's what they're going to focus on.
No,
it doesn't feel like that should be the focus.
I don't know what they're going to focus on. And that's maybe a little bit more of my concern is like, we've gone through so many iterations of a Save Greendale, of a like, let's go save the school, right. of a we all have to come back. Like, that's what happened in season 5. They came back. Like,
yeah, they're not
they left,
again.
They came back. They left in season 6. And it feels disingenuous to like have them come back for any particular reason that they would have to then be stuck there. Again, it's kind of hard to know because we don't know how much time has elapsed in world between mm-hmm. the time that the show they left Greendale or most everyone left Greendale and then when this movie picks up. We don't know where their lives are at. And I think my only wish for this movie is I very much wish, and I'm putting it out into the universe, that Andrew Guest is going to be the guiding force of making the ending of this movie happy and where everyone is in a solid place. Your lives are not destroyed. Everyone's good. We're not stuck at Greendale. I really, really want us to leave and leave Greendale alone forever. It needs to be done after this. Like, I can't have them be like, well, Jeff's still a professor at Greendale, unless that's what he is really passionate about and it's filling him with joy. Because really the way that season 6 ended was like, he was resigned being there. He wasn't happy about it. He kind of tells Annie that, like, I wish I could be going out into the world. And really, like, Britta, talk about people being disserviced. Britta gets nothing at the end of the show. Yeah. Like, I need Britta to like move on with her. I feel like so much of the show is like, people just need to move on from Greendale. Like, y'all just need to get out.
Yeah, that's fair. So. I think at this point, I think it'll help having the movie, Matt, because when you finish season 6, right, there is that hashtag in a movie. So like, you kind of leave those crumbs thinking we could pick this back up, right? Like we could scoop it back up and we can mash some stuff together and we can make a movie out of it. And I think making the movie, you can actually put a period at the end of the sentence and actually send the characters off in a way that maybe you couldn't have before. And to Jen's point, we are now in 2022 and there is...
No, we're in 2023.
No, we're not.
Oh my God, we're in 2023. You see? Okay, I'm not even used
it's
to
fine.
It
It's fine. We were in 2020 for like 5 years. It's just... it's not so time doesn't mean anything anymore.
But we're in a place now where I think back when Community was airing, there was a certain amount of disservice done to the female cast mm-hmm. in general, not just Britta, not just Shirley, right? To a certain extent, all of them were just not explored as fully as they really should have been. And now that we are in the year 2023, I'm like fingers crossed, holding out hope that they will get
justice
that full star
the
treatment they deserve. Yeah, justice
for,
all
the female
show.
Characters.
My hope lies in the Hawkeye series, which Andrew Guest is sitting mm-hmm. at home and the phone rings. It's Joe Russo. Joe Russo tells him, hey, Disney's going to call in 5 minutes because we suggest you for the Hawkeye series. And then he hangs up and then the phone rings again and it's Disney. And it was to go and fix it to improve the storyline of what's happening. And I thought the Hawkeye series did a really good job with the main character and the mother. And I suspect that's Andrew was a part of that repair. Don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that he fixes a lot of stuff. I think that's something they want to do. I think they, as writers, because they went through and watched the whole thing themselves back in like May or June of 2019. So they rewatched the entire series together and made notes. And I suspect they caught it. I hope they
it's pretty glaringly obvious. Yeah. Like, it would be really hard to not catch it. Now, my slight, obviously, a Community movie was never going to be written or co-written by a woman. My feelings about that aside.
Would have loved Hillary Winston on that list as
well. I would have loved, loved some good Hillary Winston in there. My hope, too, is that we get some justice and good storylines for these characters, that they have agency, that they get the chance to make their own decisions and have their own stories that don't revolve around men and like that end happily for them, because I want nothing more than for female characters to get to choose what they do with their lives. That's just it's just what I want in the year of our Lord 2023 is for let female characters choose their own destinies instead of having it forced upon them. Yeah. But to your point, Matt, one of the only thing I didn't like about the Hawkeye series was really Hawkeye. I left basically being like, I don't really care about him. But gosh, Hailee Steinfeld and Florence Pugh were like,
excellent.
That was what I cared about. Good.
So if he had any part in making them more of a focus, then good for him. And again, you know, the Fistful of Paintballs is a great Annie-centric episode where she is given agency. She's still who she is, but she like has a solid storyline, and I love to see it. So, I mean, you know, give Britta and Annie some solid stuff. And if that comes back, give Shirley for sure the most stuff. That
I think it'll also be interesting, not because we don't know how when this story takes place. We don't know how soon after the finale this is taking place. I'm going to be so interested to see how they handle the growth of the characters off screen, right? Yeah. So if we're coming back 10 years later, Annie left the show when she was like early 20s. People change drastically.
Also, I was gonna be like, 30s. I don't think that they can pick it up right after. They all definitely look older.
They
They all look amazing. But
Allison is stronger than she's ever been, and she just turned 40.
All of them, like, you know, they have grown as humans, as actors, as people, and all I want is for the characters to also do that. My biggest issue of why I hate season 6 is because we spend everything up until the finale making Jeff a functional alcoholic who is on multiple occasions physically assaulting Abed, and like that is just never sits right with me. So I would be fine if we just were like, let's move on and say Jeff has, you know, is a recovering alcoholic. He's been to like through the 12 steps, like that kind of passing mention of like, oh yeah, we know all of that stuff was terrible. Like, and so we're making them better than they were. And like, I can't have like a quick fix bow. Cause for me, part of the reason why I don't like season 6 is because it feels like, as much as I love the series finale, it felt kind of like a quick fix of like, oh, we're going to give you like a happy ending, sort of like, here you go. We're not going to really address all this stuff again with like, they spent 6 years with the Jeff and Annie thing. And we're like, we're kind of going to give you like an open-ended thing here, but not commit to anything, which is also Community's bit. It's like, we're going to give you something, but not commit to it fully.
We're gonna
give you a taste. Are you fine with that? With every single story we ever do. And we're like, no, who would be? And so like, again, it kind of depends on, I hope Annie has like gone out in the world and lived and had good loves and gotten her heart broken. Like, I hope that we don't come back to Greendale and just because we're back at Greendale, regress to the people that were when they were at Greendale.
Yeah.
That is what I'm most concerned with as like a Stanny. I would be devastated if Annie didn't have the growth that I would expect a person to have from early 20s to early 30s, right? Yeah. Like at least, I think there is a significant amount of growth any human being goes through in that amount of time, especially someone as like naive as Annie was when the series started. Even when the series ends, there's still a bit of that naivete in there. And so I think that like there is a certain amount of growth I do expect from all the characters, obviously, but Annie being the one that my eye is on specifically because of just how young she is in the show.
Yeah.
She's a type A go-getter who wants all A's and seeks outside approval. Yeah. If she's not achieving that, it would be weird.
It would be really weird for them to be like, again, this is what I'm worried about, only because the last time that this happened, when, you know, season 4 ended and season 5 came back, Dan basically said, throw it all in the garbage and we're starting over. Like, and I don't really love that idea. Like, I don't want him to throw season 6 finale in the garbage and start somewhere that's totally disconnected. Because one of the biggest issues is that there has been so much time that has elapsed between the finale and now. If there hadn't been, if this happened a year after, there's a lot of things that I can forgive about, like, okay, so Community ended and then a year later we picked back up. It has been a significant amount of time. We have rewatched that series a billion times since then. So we know these characters inside and out more. And I think that there's more of a personal connection that I see a lot of fans make, because a lot of people binge this in quarantine. And that was a very important show for them. These characters are very meaningful for them. And even though the show ended a bajillion years ago, approximately, it is still so personal. People can literally just finish it today. And if the movie came out tomorrow, start the movie tomorrow. So there's this weird disconnect of, like, it happened long ago, but it needs to feel true to these characters, to a place where they've actually grown since we last saw them. I don't want a reset button. I don't want someone to be like, yeah, well, like, Annie tried the FBI thing and she failed at it, so she came back to Greendale. I will hunt Dan Harmon down if that happens.
Like, I just don't think,
I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it would happen. Like, but also, it's the problem I had with season 5's premiere, is none of it felt realistic, and yet it still happened. Mainly, though, I will say, as a lover of Annie Edison, I have to say the most egregious, like, miss in the finale was Britta, who just...
Was hanging out
at the bar. Like, that's how her story ends. And to me, that was just like, well, this is sad. Like,
she didn't, what, I think that was, that's the thing we really need. We need in the movie for Britta to either have found her calling or find her calling. I think that is the thing that we need most for Britta, because at a lot of points, the character feels aimless, and not in, like, a fun, great way, in more of a, we don't know what to do with her type of way.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, we need that resolution as someone who, like, loves Britta and really, really enjoyed her when I wasn't on my rewatch, when I wasn't necessarily expecting to.
Yeah.
I think we need that for the character. Like, I mean, we talked about before, just like, these female characters need substantial storylines that make sense for them and that are not serving a purpose to, like, make others feel good about themselves. Like, we need these characters to have agency within themselves and be true to who they are, not who like everyone else wants them to be.
Yes.
And I'm just, that's what I'm really hoping for from the movie.
Much like Nick Miller, Britta owns the bar now. Like, that's a storyline. If that's something that she discovered, like, actually, like, I'm really good at this. And it does combine the part of being a therapist that I was good at, which was unintentionally helping people and, like, helping them have catharsis while also doing something that I genuinely love. And I think that that's the biggest thing. Like, Nick really loved being a bartender. He, in New Girl, he chose to be a bartender instead of being a lawyer. And, like, I want Britta to choose whatever makes her happiest, not like have her forced into a specific role.
And left no other choice.
Like, I think we're all going to be rewarded in that category. The problem, of course, then is, what is the conflict if everybody's doing great? And that ultimately becomes part of the story problem.
It could be a, like, not everybody's doing great. And then as long as the growth happens at some point, whether or not it's before the movie or within the movie, it's fine.
My biggest thing is, like, you don't have to wreck your characters' lives in order to make conflict happen. People have conflict over everything. And if they're coming back to Greendale and the conflict is that being back at Greendale is really toxic for all of them, and they've realized it because they're successful outside of Greendale, that's a conflict that I would like. I would like them to see, actually, this place no longer serves us. Yes, we love it because it's nostalgic, because it was the place that we met. But coming back here, we fall into, like, weird habits. But have them realize that, not have them regress, but have them be like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? Oh, it's this place. And because I've grown, now I've realized, like, this place is actually bad for me, not because I have no agency or can't make a decision, but just because, like, like all of us, you can't go back to high school. Like you can't go back to those. You remember the person you used to be, and that's no longer the person you are. And for Jeff, that's what I'm hoping too. I hope that we get a chance to see that like Jeff has evolved and has come to terms with where he is in life. I'm also slightly worried about Abed just because I know that the show never really knows how to handle Abed from season to season, from episode to episode. Either he's infantilized and he's an innocent who doesn't know right from wrong, or he's like really profound. And so I'm more than anyone, I'm curious to see how they're going to handle him in the movie is really what I'm more so, because honestly, Abed was Dan's mouthpiece for so long up until season six. And then that kind of switched. And then Jeff was Dan's avatar for season six. And so I'm curious to see what's going to happen with kind of this self-insert piece of the movie, and whether or not we see that happen, or whether or not having Dan and Andrew Guest helps maybe smooth that out and balance that out. But yeah, Abed is kind of an unknown variable as well. Like all of these characters are very unknown, but like Abed specifically, because it has been so long and because he went off to pursue film, I'm just kind of still, again, like concerned that the show didn't know who Abed was and
couldn't define him because they wanted to make it open for as many people as possible to see themselves in him. And then, but when you do that, you don't,
which that's the worst thing consistent. To do as a writer. You don't make a shell of a character. You can't do that. You can't do the self insert. Like he's the every person. No, he is who he is, and you have to stick to it. But Community's problem was okay, so he has a girlfriend and he's super evolved. But wait, this one, he can't tell what facial expression you're making. And this one, he's being like, it's just the inconsistencies with his character from season to season were hard to deal with, because that was, you know, this was a great character. And I think that they wasted a lot of potential on the incredible Danny Pudi, who, again, knocked everything out of the park. But you know, Abed is a person. He's allowed to have emotions, and he's allowed. Yes, he loves pop culture, but like, I would be kind of upset if they brought Abed back and just had him too be like, I tried doing movies and it failed. Like again, with like the season five kind of vibe to it. That doesn't feel true to who Abed would hopefully be now. You know?
Yeah, I just want, but like we've said before, I just want them to be okay, and I don't want them to be destructive in the lives that they're living. I mean, that's the thing that they were. Like Jeff, as a teacher, as someone who used to teach, is the most irritating thing is he doesn't see the value in teaching.
Yeah,
and I would love for that to be a this is absurd. I obsess over it. I really want Jeff to talk to one of the students and realize, oh, you need me. That's why you're in this class. I need to be valuable to you, not just sit here and drink. I really want that at some form or fashion. Make it funny. Make it kind of horrible if you want, but let him get the realization that what I do matters. And I think that becomes an easy way to solve the problem while you're there.
Also, as a very funny little nitpick thing, Deb and I talked about this when we talked about season five. We're like, why is Jeff teaching law? Shouldn't he teach like something like debate? Like that's his thing. He like claims he knows absolutely nothing about law, by the way, and was a practicing lawyer, which I don't believe. And like, you know, to see him be able to, like, all I want is for Jeff to be like teaching the next generation of Greendale students that were just like him in the study group when they first came in, and watching that unfold for him, watching the fact that he can be the person who actually makes a difference in the lives of his students. They need him.
And that would be great if you did it with Shirley's kids, or you did it with Darson's character Dave, people we've already established that exist, where he sees a purpose for that. That would work for me a thousand times over.
I think the good news is, given how much time has passed and how much time they've all had to like think and speculate on what these characters would have done after the show ended, I feel like they're not under the time crunch maybe that they were in the season from season to season, I think that it's going to be a little bit less. And we only have an hour and a half, an hour 45, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So I think it's going to be tight. I think they can only do so much. And yeah. so I agree with you all. I hope that they
and they're going to start time crunch now. Well. I mean, yeah. the Peacock is saying it's coming out 2023. The script's not done. There is no director.
I don't really know.
There's no filming schedule.
Yeah.
It's probably going to get pushed to 2023.
I feel like it has to be, right? Because if it's not, it's going to be the very end of 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, New Year's Eve thing.
And also, I would much rather have them like take their time instead of rush through it. Like, I mean, I talked about this with a friend of like, the Teen Wolf movie feels like they really flew through producing that in like 2 months. And I don't feel like you can get real quality stuff.
We've been waiting this long. What's the rush?
Exactly. Same. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, make the time, revise the script if stuff isn't working. Like, give that time to do that, because I would much rather wait until 2024 or 2025. We've been waiting for so long. We didn't think this was going to happen. We had held out hope, but like, we didn't know that it was going to happen. So why not just wait another couple of years and release it when it's ready to see the light of day? Because here's the thing. This is either going to be a thing that everyone accepts, and people will always have issues. No movie wrap-up is going to be perfect. Or I don't want this to be the, we don't see this as canon.
Yeah,
this isn't canon.
Yeah.
Actually, conversation's already happening on Twitter that it doesn't matter because they won't get Trobed and they won't get Jeff Annie. And those are two different groups, by the way. But they're not going to get it, so therefore it's not canon.
But here's the thing. If you don't like something, go to the realm of fan fiction where everything is fine. Yeah. But I don't want things to happen like with the Veronica Mars fandom where things just blew up and they made decisions and like a movie and things came out and it was like, no, we're actually going to pretend that the show ended here. I don't want Community to have the issue of like, oh, it's so bad that we're just going to pretend that it never happened because we waited this long. Again, I think that giving it its due, making it so that the characters are believable, that they've progressed. My biggest thing is just like, Dan, just let my characters be happy. Like, I can't let you.
There's enough darkness in the world. Like, let them be happy. Let it be a little bit of a light ending. Like, even if they go through stuff during the movie, that's fine. But let them be happy by the end, because most likely this is the last time we're going to see them.
Oh, and, so, you know, I don't want to end with like, and then they were all their lives all sucked. Or I don't want to like another retread of like, well, it feels like we didn't move anywhere from the series finale. Yeah, like, I want to make progress and growth and progress. And then I want to end a place where I'm like, my characters are good. Shut the book. No more Community.
Yeah.
We're done. We did the thing.
Any speculation on either of your parts, any like hot takes, what you think we're going to see, anything that you're like, you know what, I think this might happen and it's bold, you know, anything you can think of that they may include in the movie that people wouldn't be expecting.
I would love if they kind of retconned how badly they handled the Britta Troy relationship by doing flashbacks of them constantly leaving the group and clearly screwing around in the closets constantly, because they are zero passion in season 4.
They don't
even kiss Gillian on screen Jacobs, in like, season 4, where they did it multiple times in seasons 2 and 3, where they kissed each other or they had passionate moments. There's this dead air in season 4. I would
and
love
it's what Donald Glover and Gillian Jacobs, like, both of them could have chemistry with the floor. Come on.
And they ruined that. So have a little flashback where they're constantly just getting up and closing a closet door and everybody looking around awkwardly. That would be just multiple little shots of it. That would be a perfect way to kind of retcon and fix how weird season 4's version was.
Yeah. I personally hope they don't even address it. I don't even want to think about their relationship ever again now that I just finished season four.
I know we're talking about relationships. I know I said that I don't think anything will, like, I'm not expecting this to be like a rom-com, but I do think I need some finality on the Jeff and Annie front. Like, I need them to, like, I can't have Dan be so wishy-washy like he is with his relationships.
There has to be one way or the other. There has to be a something.
There has to be some sort of thing. And that goes for, like, all of, like, we were talking about, all these character stories. There has to be bows. I cannot let you leave anything open-ended as this movie ends. Because here's my hot take. I feel like we've already kind of said that. I don't want any other movies. I don't want anything to happen after this. There should be no more community movies.
But we can disagree. Nope.
There should be no more community movies. You give Dan too much room to go. And first of all, Dan is doing this and he was like, the way that he just kind of like dragged his feet about people being like, six seasons in a movie. He's going to be like, I did it. Stop yelling at me. We're done.
I'm pretty sure
I'm done. So there will be no community movie beyond this, because there's no world in which Dan is going to be like, yeah, I'll do a sequel. He said this and he regrets it. And I know he regrets saying six seasons in a movie back in season two, because now he has to fulfill the prophecy. I don't need anything beyond this. There should be no more story left to tell by the time this movie wraps up. I should feel good about all my characters. I should feel like they have accomplished what they set out to accomplish in this movie, whatever that is. I need a bow on every single thing that was left undone in the series finale and in the series in general. And I need it to be good. I need us to be gone from Greendale forever. I need them to leave this saying goodbye to Greendale forever. And I am good with that, because too much of this means that you just keep unspooling threads that really don't need to be unspooled. Like, it just... Mm-hmm. You're just pulling at the thinnest of plots after this. And I think that that's the problem with too
much.
Would
you be okay with them acting as a troupe and doing different things?
Because I think that they should just all go into the psych movies, because I think that those should go on forever. So Peacock, keep giving Psych and Steve.
Do the whole Christopher Guest thing where you do the dog show documentary movie.
Honestly, that's great. What I want for them. And I actually want them to all go on and continue to do what they're doing in their careers, because they're all doing incredible things.
Yeah.
So I know that they love the fandom. I know that the fandom means so much to them. I want, for everyone's sake, both the characters and the actors, for Dan as well, for this to just be a bow, a coda, an epilogue, the end, we're done, no more.
With lots of behind the
scenes.
Come
at me. I can keep talking about this.
No, I think I can see your point.
Danny's got more mythic quest to do.
I think at a certain point, like, the more open-ended you leave it, the more you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Yeah. And the more you're just like, you're just leaving that thread hanging. I do agree at a certain point. I mean, I've always been of the mindset of like, give me three solid seasons. Don't give me like seven and a few of them are mediocre.
Yes.
Like, if you can tell the story in three seasons, then write three seasons. Yeah. I don't like, we're in the day of television now where we don't need extra TV just to have extra TV.
Well, and also at this point, people don't know, Megan Gans just talked about that in, Mythic Quest. Write the thing now. Do it now. You don't know if you're going to get renewed anymore.
Exactly. Like,
so your three seasons could be it. Your one season could be it. This movie is probably going to be it.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So probably, I agree with you. This is all I need is this movie. But
I just want to be great.
I just want it to be good.
I hope it's going to be good.
I'm not even saying great. I'm just saying good. Passable.
I'll take good, but I want
passable.
Great.
Yeah. Passable. And what is it? Fantastic.
What is it from season four? Doable and passable.
Doable and passable. Yeah.
Doable and passable, guys. That's what I want.
But my like spicy, maybe this will happen. It could be kind of fun. I think it would be weird and funny if one of the core group just like has a random make out encounter with a side character for no reason, like just like smush them together for like, and don't ever talk about it again as just like a random side thing. I think it would be very funny. I don't know why. I think it would be weird.
Okay,
it would be
now
a really
Jess,
fun
I need to know who
gosh, I love Neil and I love Garrett, so I feel like it has to be one of them. And maybe it's like Britta, because I could see Britta.
I was gonna say Britta is like the one person who I'm like, put most Britta likely. Britta with all of them.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I just think it would be funny and silly and like unexplained, and then it would just move on and don't need to talk about
it. Britta and Magnitude, and they like make out in a supply closet, and then it opens, and he says "pop pop," and yeah, we never speak of it again.
No notes. It's beautiful.
Pay me for that one, Dan and Andrew. I'll take money.
Amazing. Well, thank you both so much for coming on here to talk all of this through with me. I so appreciate it. I can't wait. No matter if we're waiting, you know, 8 months, 12 months, more than that, we're all going to be thrilled when the movie finally does arrive. Matt, we know we could find you at Communities on Twitter.
Yeah, we're on every platform apparently now. There you go. I'm really on Twitter. I'm you on Instagram apparently. Just so you can so allegedly. People can tag me. Yeah, but we're since Twitter's so currently weird.
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
Jen, what do you have going on? Where can people find you?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter until Twitter just descends into even more madness than it already is in at COMM Rewatch Pod. We're on Instagram too at Community Rewatch. I don't know when this is going to drop, but like, regardless, there's a season 4 of Mythic Quest coming. So we are wrapping up Mythic Quest coverage with you, which yay! I'm very excited to have on the finale. And then we're going into season 6, the final season of Community. So this is it. I've got a few extra episodes that we didn't talk about in season mm-hmm. 1, didn't podcast about. That'll be sprinkled in as some little fun bonus, but after we're done with the series finale, until the movie comes out, this will be our last time podcasting about Community. But don't you worry if you love New Girl or RuPaul's Drag Race or Stranger Things or Mary-Kate and Ashley films. We're going to be talking about all of that stuff amazing. When we turn into a giant rewatch podcast. And Chels will be co-hosting some of those. I will be co-hosting some of them with Jamie, specifically the New Girl, also Schitt's Creek. So just come and follow us. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Of course, you could find me here on Post Show Recaps talking about Mythic Quest. We are coming up on the woo-hoo! Finale very soon. I'm very, very excited. I'll be so sad that like we have to be without it again.
Oh, I know. Same. I don't know.
But at least there's confirmation of another season. So yes. We could be grateful for that. Of course, I'm also talking about the National Treasure Edge of History show, which take it or leave it, it's still very fun podcasting content. So go check that out. And I think, gosh, very soon, The Last of Us is going to be premiering, and I am going to be playing the video game for the first time with Brooklyn Zed, as well as podcasting about the show. So that will be tons of fun. We're going to have so much coverage of The Last of Us. So definitely check out all of that. And then, of course, you could always find me at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Talking about 90s content, we've wrapped up Boy Meets World. We are done with that. But of course, we're still covering Dawson's Creek and some bonus content. I believe we're covering Thelma and Louise this month. So that should be fun because I've never seen that movie. So check us out at Shit90s Pod, and you can find me at The Just Sterling. Of course, if you want to become a patron and support Post Show Recaps, you could do so at postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. But just subscribe, and that's enough for us as well. So hit that subscribe button. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week with the start of season five, episode 1. Of course, we have to have Corey B on because he's going to be premiering our new theme song because Leonard won last week of the Dean's List. So he's going to be included in our new season 5 theme song. So I can't wait for Corey to debut that with us. But thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week. And that's it for us. So Corey B, take us away.
Crisis alert. Crisis alert. Do it each week. Let's get through the worst. Gas is starting to leak. Wiggler and Jazz carrying on. Meet up to pass.